Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we're learning how to develop an attitude of giving.
The more you use your gifts, the more God will plant and pour into your gifts so you can use it. Some of you are shriveling up right now and feel like I have nothing to give spiritually because you don't use your God-given gifts.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. When we have areas of scarcity in our lives, it might be time for us to stop and consider the cause. As we continue our study from our series called Be the Change, Mark is going to be showing us how we can discover and apply the principles of sowing and reaping in our lives. Are abundance and generosity really tied together? And how can you activate the favor of God so that your life will overflow with abundance in the lives of those around you? Well, those are the questions Mark will address from the book of 2 Corinthians. Our message starts right now. Here's Mark Job with today's Bold Steps.
Well, in the beginning, it looks like you have more than that farmer that sowed his seed because he's throwing it out there. But when harvest time comes, he will have a lot more fruit than you have because you stored all your seeds. You hung on to all your seeds. You kept your seeds tight. And so when harvest time comes, there's nothing that you're going to reap because you're eating all your seeds, hanging on to all your seeds. Paul says, if you sow a lot, you reap a lot. If you sow a little, you reap a little. He's talking directly about finances and giving in this passage. But I believe that applies to every area of life. I've taught you this before. Let me reiterate it again. Look at your life right now and ask yourself this question. Where is there a scarcity in my life? And if there's an area in your life that you have scarcity in, then you need to ask yourself this question. How can I sow seeds into that area? You say, well, Pastor, I'm really lonely right now. I just feel like I have no friends. It's really like, I'm just kind of hanging out by myself. Can I give you a tip? Sow seeds of friendship. You see, you're never going to reap friendship unless you sow seeds of friendship. You say, well, Pastor, I have one friend. And you grab onto that friend so tight, they think you're a stalker. How you doing, friend? What are you doing tonight? Who are you going with? Oh, you're going out. Hey, can I go? You're going out there. Hey, can I go too? If they go out with someone and you're not invited, I'm mad at this friend. Why didn't you invite me? I should have been there too. Oh, what, you don't like me anymore? See, what you're doing is you're hanging onto your seed so tight. You're hanging onto your seed so tight, you think that if I hang on tight, I'm going to keep it. But what happens is you hang so tight onto your seed that you lose it. If you want friendship, then you need to take the seeds of friendship and you need to start sowing the seeds of friendship. Go meet some people, talk to people, invite people out to eat, be friendly with people, get to know people. Throw out your heart of friendship. That's the way you be. And if you sow in the area of friendship, let me tell you, the day will come where you'll have so many friends you can't keep up with them. Why? Because whoever is going to have friends, Scripture says, needs to show himself friendly. You say, I don't have any friends. I go to church. I don't have any friends. You sit there in the back like this. People think you're a security and you're not even a security guard. You're just like, you wonder why you have no friends. Say hi to someone. Get out of your shell a little bit. Join a small group. Go out to eat. You sow seeds of friendship. You get friends. You sow seeds of love, you experience love. You sow seeds of compassion, you experience compassion. You want to impact a lot of people for Jesus and see people come to know Christ? You sow the seeds of the gospel and people understand and receive the gospel. If you sow no gospel seeds, people never come to Christ. That's the way it works. People look at this church and say, wow, you guys have really grown. Every year for 26 years, we've grown. People have come to Christ. We've baptized people. This past year, we baptized 528 people church-wide. Our largest year of baptism yet. People say, well, how does that happen? Let me tell you, there's no magic to it. Is that we've determined a long time ago, we're going to sow. We're going to sow the gospel. We're going to sow the seeds. We don't want you to come here for a while never to have heard the gospel. If people come, I want you to know Jesus. So I'm going to tell you clearly, concisely, precisely, with the power of the Holy Spirit, how you can come to know the greatest person in the world who is God through Jesus Christ. I want you to experience his power. And I'm going to sow it, and I'm going to empower people to sow it, and we're going to sow as many seeds as we can because we want a lot of people to come to know Jesus. But if we were just never to share the gospel outside of these four walls, never to be really clear about the gospel, and then start complaining that the world is hard and no one comes to Jesus. Oh, it's just no one comes to Christ. No. I think a lot of people can come if we start sowing. You see, the more we sow, the more we reap. And it's not only told to us in this passage, but in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want a good marriage? If you don't sow into your marriage will dry up, wither, and start to stagnate. You have a good marriage, not because of your genes. You have a good marriage because you sow into a good marriage. You invest into a good marriage. You put time into that marriage. And if you want a good marriage, you have to sow good seeds into that marriage. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap, for by the standard you measure, it will be measured to you again as well. The point that the Apostle Paul is making is that even when it comes to finances, it depends on how we sow. There's two things. It's the quantity you sow has a direct impact on the amount that you reap, and the kind of seed, the quality you sow, has a direct impact on what you reap as well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. You'll see it all throughout Scripture, the idea of the more you grab onto it and hold on to it and possess it and don't sow it, then the worse you will end up being. But those that learn how to give and release and honor God first of all, and then are generous and sow, then they also begin to reap. Number two, God's favor flows in direct relation to the attitude of our giving. So keep giving with a cheerful attitude. Listen to what it says in verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful in the Greek is where we get the word hilarious from. God loves a hilarious giver. And not that you look hilarious or act hilarious, but that when you give, you are so excited about giving, it gives you so much joy that have you ever seen a hilarious movie? Think about your funniest movie. I mean, you watch it, and you've watched it 10 times already, and you laugh every time you see it. It's just funny. It's the same word used here. Hilarious means that it's this uncontrollable laughter, this joy that comes over you, something that brings you a lot of pleasure. You just can't control your laughter. Paul tells us that that's the kind of giver that God loves. That when you embrace, when you so understand the power of giving, when you so understand this whole idea of releasing and that God has empowered you in giving so that you could release, that it gives you so much joy. Like the offering plate goes around, you're like, what's wrong with this? I'm just so happy. I think your spouse would check your head. Are you okay? Normally, when the time comes to give at anything, it gets real quiet and serious and somber. But if we really understood the power of giving, and if we really understood what it did, there would be this joy. And the Bible says, this is the attitude. He tells us two attitudes that we're to give with. Number one, a determined attitude. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Giving starts with the decision and continues with the plan we determine to follow through on. Our heart should follow our decision. Our heart should follow our decision. I believe that giving is so important that we should do planned giving, not just, well, whatever. Because when something's important, it's not just whatever. When something's important, we make a plan for it, right? For people that pay their mortgage here, it's not like, whatever. I don't know. December, March, the 1st, the 15th, whatever. Listen, you'll be homeless pretty soon if you have a whatever attitude with your mortgage. If you're going to keep your job and be a good worker, it's not like, well, what time do you start? Well, whatever. 9:15, 9:30, 10 o'clock, whatever. Sometimes I show up, sometimes I don't. Listen, you're not going to work long. Or if you're self-employed, you're going to be bankrupt pretty soon. Because if it's important, you make a plan, you determine this is important, and so it's not a whatever thing. I determine in advance the plan I choose. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, what you have decided. This is the decision that's made. So people ask me all the time, well, Pastor, how much should I give when it comes to the things of God or mission or church? They say, well, how much should I give? And I always point them back to Scripture and I say, well, there is no certain amount that you should give and everybody gives. The amount depends on your prosperity or your poverty. You give in proportion to how you have prospered or not prospered. That's how the Bible works. At one of the standards that we see in the Old Testament and New Testament is the concept of the tithe, that we give the first portion of our income to God. But we decide in advance, we have a plan to be able to give to those things, and then we follow through on that plan, even though it may be difficult.
Listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job. Today's message is titled Breaking the Spirit of Mammon. And if you've been encouraged by Mark's bold and authentic Bible teaching, let me encourage you to go online and learn more about this ministry, or go online and share today's message with a friend who might like to hear it. You'll find us at boldstepsradio.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our latest Bold Step gift. It's a book that will teach you how to lean in and look for the Lord even in our times of wandering. Discover the freedom and safety of chasing God alone in Michelle Van Loon's book, Born to Wander. You can request it online with a gift of any amount in support of Bold Steps. But right now, let's jump back into today's study. Mark has two more points to address.
Notice what he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. See, the way that God doesn't want us to give is, okay, all right, I guess. All right. You say so, God. That's reluctantly, I don't really want to do this, or under compulsion. My wife's forcing me to tithe. She's like, come on, write it out. Come on. That's reluctantly under compulsion. And what he says is you haven't really understood the power of giving when that's. Because God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. And here's the thing. It's the idea, if I understood the power of giving in every area of my life, not just finances, but in compassion and love and friendship, if I understood that when I give, I'm making room for God to fill up more. When I give, I'm actually becoming this funnel of God to do more through me, then I would be excited about giving and look at giving as an adventure. Some people, when the offering plate is taken, it's like, goodbye, bye, goodbye. People that understand giving, it's like, no, slam dunk, yeah. The basket comes by, slam dunk, praise God, yeah. Yeah, this is, that's the power of giving. Number three, God's abundance is activated so that we can overflow to bless others. So keep blessing others with your giving. Notice what it says in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. What is grace? Not the woman that lives next door to you. No, I'm talking about grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. It's God's favor. So God is able to make all favor abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Here's what he's saying. As we give in different areas of life, God is able to make favor go towards us so that in all things, notice what he says, and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound to every good work. The idea here is that as you release in your life, this is true in every area of your life. Listen, if you're here and you walk into church one day and you said, I'm tired, I just want to receive. I'm going to sit in the back. I'm going to just kind of be real quiet. And then we give an altar call and people come forward and you've been a believer for a while and you say, man, I see someone there. No one's praying for them. I've been trained as a prayer partner. And you go up and you just say, I'm going to pray for them. I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray for them. And so you release prayer and encouragement. There's something that happens to you as you release. And you may feel like I have nothing to give, but as you give and release, then suddenly you start to get filled. And you just wanted to sit back and receive, but when you released and when you gave, you realize that you get filled up and filled up more. And you walk out of this place saying, wow, what an awesome service. Man, it was great. Well, what made it great is I released, and as I release, it opened up the doors for me to receive because I released, then I was able to receive. You see, that's the way it works in the kingdom of God, is that that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'd hate to tell you this secret. It's going to ruin it. But you know, you walk out, a lot of people come and say, Pastor, that message really blessed me. Thank you so much for giving. Pastor, that was really good. Oh, God really used it. And I get emails and different people. But I have to, well, I hate to tell you this. But I get much more out of it than you do. Because as I prepare for the word, as I study, as I pray, as I preach, as I give, because I get a good chance to give and give the word. You see, I am more blessed and receive more out of every teaching than anybody receives out of here, because as I'm releasing and I'm giving, there is something that happens that fills me up, fills me. It's not like I gave and oh bless you, I'm all worn out and tired. I do take a nap on Sunday afternoons. The only day of the week I take a nap because I am a little tired. But I tell you what, it fills me up because there is no area in your life that you release in that you do not get a fill up in as well. That's the way of God. It's always the way of God. And you may be sitting here, today and say, you know what, I just wish I was more filled up. And I'm going to tell you, if you're just sitting there waiting to receive, I'm going to challenge you to get out of your comfort zone, step up to the plate, and give of something to the things of God, the people of God, someone that's in need. And I bet you at that time, you're going to receive back much more than just sitting and receiving, because the more you release, the more you increase. Last point, jot this down. Our generosity is a tool to generate thanksgiving and glory to God. So keep looking for opportunities to be generous. Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. Some of you are saying, where's that verse in the Bible, Pastor? I want to underline it. You will be made rich in every way, not for what you think you're being made rich for, so that you can be what? Oh, I didn't hear that. I heard murmuring there. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be what? Generous on when? On every occasion. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity, it will result to thanksgiving to God. Let me tell you how it works in God's mathematics. God doesn't prosper you so that you can keep all that stuff and so that it stops and with you. God prospers you. God gives you spiritual gifts. God gives you wisdom and insight. God gives you financial resources, not so that you could just kind of enjoy them for yourself, but God gives them to you so that you can be generous to others. And as you are generous to others, it results in glory and thanksgiving to God. You see, the problem with our resources and finances isn't that money is bad. It's the love of money. And when we love it, we keep it. We just keep it. When we understand that it's a powerful tool to bless God, then when God blesses, then we know how to use our resources for the good of God. As God gives, we give. We release. We share. Not just in our finances, but every area of life. The more you love, the more you will be empowered to love. The more you use your gifts, the more God will plant and pour into your gifts so you can use it. Some of you are shriveling up right now and feel like I have nothing to give spiritually because you don't use your God-given gifts. God has given you gifts, you don't use them, so you're shriveled up. Those that use their gifts, God says, give me grace for this. You use your gift, God says, I found someone that when I give it, he won't just keep it, he'll keep giving. So let me give more, let me pour more, let me pour more and more, because this person, what I give him love, he releases love. I give him wisdom, he releases wisdom. I give him power, he doesn't keep the power, he releases it and uses it for God. The more you release, the more you increase. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us in this passage. That the reason that God makes you rich in every area of life, he makes you rich so that you can be generous, so that you can release. And when you release, it affects people's lives, and ultimately people give thanks to God. Now let me close by reading these verses. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Why does God want to make you rich in every way? So that you can be generous in every way.
This is Bold Steps. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job, and there's so much more to learn on how to be the change, so please keep listening. Helping you change and grow into the person that God has made you to be is one of our goals here at Bold Steps. And we have some amazing resources and tools available at our website, like our current Bold Step gift, the book Born to Wander. Michelle Van Loon weaves a masterful tale of personal stories against the backdrop of the biblical themes of pilgrimage and exile. And you'll gain valuable insights in learning how to deal with feelings of not belonging and powerlessness. We'd love to send you a copy, so request it today when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. You can do that by calling 844-615-7363 or by giving online and requesting the book at boldstepsradio.org. You can also send your financial gift in the mail. Address it to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. One more time, 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And when you reach out to us, be sure to let us know how we can encourage you on your journey home to God. And if we can pray for you and your family, let us know that too. Now, we love making connections and hearing from people whose lives have been touched by this daily program. Mark, I have a comment from a mom here who wrote into us and said, I listen to Bold Steps every night. Mark Job is an incredible teacher, and my son is 3 years old. He loves Mark Job, too.
Well, you know, I have that effect on children, I guess. You know, that's my main audience. You know, if I can get a three-year-old, yeah. if I can yeah. connect with a three-year-old, yeah. I can connect with anybody.
Putting cookies on the lower shelf, huh?
Exactly.
All right. That's all the time we have today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll look at a winning attitude. That's coming up Thursday, so be listening to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.